This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. President Donald Trump made offhand remarks while at his golf club in New Jersey this week in what amounted to a threat of nuclear war with North Korea. Trump said, quote, "North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen." Responding to Trump, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's government said it would be, quote, "carefully examining a missile strike on the American territory of Guam, which houses a major U.S. military base." North Korea's state-run media said it would, quote, "turn the U.S. mainland into the theater of a nuclear war." U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson just hours later tried to tone down the fieriness of his president's rhetoric, saying that there was no change to U.S.-North Korea relations and that, quote, "Americans should sleep well at night." The exchange comes on the 72nd anniversary of the U.S. nuclear bombing of Nagasaki. My guest is Tim Shorrock. He's a Washington-based journalist who spent part of his youth in South Korea. He's been writing about North and South Korea since the late 1970s, and he writes about U.S.-Korea relations for The Nation, as well as the Korea Center for Investigative Reporting. Welcome to the program, Tim.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts on the president's remarks? They were apparently made off the cuff. Do you take them seriously?
Well, first of all, they were just reprehensible. To threaten any country with nuclear war is outrageous. And it just shows you that Trump is a little bit imbalanced and clearly does not understand the gravity of this situation. And to say this, you know, one day before the world marks the anniversary of the Nagasaki bomb that the U.S. dropped in Japan, is even more reprehensible. You know, I think there's elements within the administration, within the intelligence community, within the think tank industry here in Washington, within the military industrial complex that would like to have a war with North Korea. Whereas there's lots of other voices, including many voices within the Pentagon and his own administration, who know a war would be a complete catastrophe for both Korea and the United States. So I think at this point, he's trying to sort of bluff his way with the North Koreans, but I don't think it's going to work at all. In fact, you know, you could see with what they came back with about saying they were looking at plans about assaulting Guam, you know, where U.S. bombers that go over Korea regularly fly from, that, you know, they took the bait. And, you know, right after he said he would not allow them to threaten again, they did so within minutes. So, you know, this kind of strategy clearly does not work. And I think that, in a way, Trump is holding the world hostage by making the world fear that any minute now there's going to be a nuclear war in Korea.
Let's actually watch the remarks that he made at a Trump golf course in Bedminster, New Jersey. This is what Donald Trump said this week.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. He has been very threatening. Beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before.
Trump saying that North Korea will be met first with fire and fury, then repeating fire and fury and power, the likes of which this world has never seen. Tim, I'm wondering if you saw this remark that he made. You know, he's supposedly on vacation. He was seated at a table with his wife and his cabinet members. His arms were crossed across his entire body, and just that body language to me said a lot. You know, somebody making a threat that he's almost not sure of himself. Do you believe the fact that this was basically unplanned?
Well, you know, some of the networks last night were playing tapes of Harry Truman, President Harry Truman, making a when he threatened Japan with nuclear weapons in 1945. And while I thought, you know, what Truman did was terribly wrong and did not really play a role in the defeat of Japan, I think that when Harry Truman spoke about using these terrible weapons, he spoke with a sense of gravity and solemnity that this was a very dangerous thing to be doing and was very risky and would kill millions of people. Trump looked like he was proud of himself. He looked arrogant. He looked aggressive. The way he held his arms and you know, folded his arms and spoke like that. I mean, he has no idea what he's talking about when he talks about unleashing fire and fury like this. I mean, does he want to burn up 100,000 people in a second with a firebomb, a nuclear bomb that hits Pyongyang? Does he want North Korea to respond by shooting, you know, missiles at South Korea and killing hundreds of thousands? I mean, this is really dangerous talk.
He then tweeted on Wednesday that he was going to renovate and modernize our nuclear arsenal. It's now far stronger and more powerful than ever before. And then added, hopefully we will never have to use this power, but there will never be a time that we are not the most powerful nation in the world. Now, Trump has also talked about, you know, why do we have nuclear weapons if we're not going to use them? Do you think with Trump we come closer than ever to using nuclear weapons in sort of recent U.S. history?
This seems pretty close. I mean, I don't know, you know, I mean, he's the only one who can give an order to make a nuclear strike, and he cannot be overruled by the Secretary of Defense. But obviously, he would have to be supported in this by, you know, his military and national security advisors, as well as State Department and other officials. But it's hard to know how serious he is. But the fact that he's threatening this is raising the temperature in the whole region and on the whole world, and creating mindless fear that there could be a war. And I think that, you know, Americans need to step back and need to try to understand how we got to this situation. How and why did we get to the situation? How and why do we get out of this situation? War is not going to be the answer, no matter what Trump says. War is not going to help relieve the vast differences between North Korea and the United States over North Korea's nuclear program and over North Korea's desire for the U.S. to end its hostile attitude toward North Korea. And the only thing that's going to do anything about that is diplomacy.
What about Rex Tillerson's attempt to assuage people's fears? He basically said, well, nothing has changed in the last 24 hours and that Americans should sleep well at night. I mean, this administration is sending very conflicting signals.
Well, yeah, that's quite a conflicting signal. I mean, Tillerson just the other day had said that he would welcome talks with North Korea, and he even said that, you know, as long as if they stop missiles, that the U.S. would be open to talking directly with them. And then suddenly Trump comes on with this nuclear war talk, certainly cast a pall over any attempt at diplomacy. So, you know, Tillerson, who apparently is still on the diplomatic path, had to say something. And basically he's telling people to ignore what this man is saying, what his president is saying. But I think it's pretty hard for the world to ignore this kind of aggressive talk from President Trump.
Now, isn't the worry also that Kim Jong-un could be provoked into doing something terrible? Because even if Trump's rhetoric is empty, what if it's just strong enough to provoke Kim Jong-un into actually sending a missile toward Guam?
Well, I think the North Koreans, actually at the meeting in Manila this week, the North Korean foreign minister said that North Korea would only use a nuclear weapon against the United States and in defense. So I don't think that North Korea would take a first strike against the United States because, first of all, any kind of, you know, strike against the United States would result in its complete destruction of North Korea. And they've known this for decades. So I just don't think, you know, that's going to happen. I think the North Koreans are, you know, building missile and nuclear weapon capability because they fear it's their only defense against what they consider a very hostile policy toward them by the United States.
Do you think that the nuclear codes should be taken away from Donald Trump? I don't even know if such a thing can happen, but it seems as though it's a very scary prospect to have Trump's finger on the button.
Well, I think some of his advisors should at least tell him to stop making statements like this. I thought that's what General Kelly, his new chief of staff, was supposed to be doing, was to bring some discipline to the White House and not have him spout off with this kind of statement. But apparently that's not working very well. I mean, I think, you know, he's the president. The only way you can take away the nuclear button from him is to have another president and have another election. And in the next election, hopefully he can be replaced by someone with a little bit more sense in his head. But I think for now, we've got to support any effort within his administration to have negotiations and diplomacy. I mean, this is the only path towards a solution of this crisis.
So what is the status of U.S.-North Korea diplomatic talks right now? I mean, where does it lie, with Trump just so overtly contradicting his own Secretary of State? Can they even proceed in a serious fashion?
Well, actually, you know, until this young American, Otto Wambier, died in North Korean, after being in North Korean custody, you know, until that point, the U.S. and the Trump administration actually had been having negotiations and talks with the North Korean government. Not long after Trump became president, the ambassador Yu, who was the U.S. ambassador to North Korean talks on the issue of human rights, and he's sort of the designated negotiator if there's ever going to be negotiations. You know, he met with a deputy North Korean foreign minister in Oslo, Norway, earlier in the year. And there's been a succession of discussions directly between the Trump government and the Kim Jong-un government, you know, since then. But what happened was, you know, the discussions were focusing on the release of the then four Americans that were being held in North Korean prisons. And the North Korean foreign ministry apparently agreed to release one of them, this young man, Otto Wambier. And then when his release became imminent, the North Korean foreign ministry became aware that he was in a coma and communicated that to the U.S. negotiator. And immediately the Trump administration approved this negotiator to go directly to Pyongyang to retrieve him and get him out, which he did, and he came back and he died a few days later. And since that incident happened, as you know, Trump, you know, denounced this in North Korea for causing his death, although it's not really known why he died or why he went into a coma in the first place. And his family did not want an autopsy, so it's unclear exactly what happened to him. But since then, there have been no talks. And the last, I think it was last week, the U.S. A State Department official was asked in front of a Senate committee about the possibility of negotiations. And her answer was that North Korea knows where we are and knows where to call us. So there's been no overt, you know, steps taken to begin negotiations. So they're sort of in limbo right now. But I'm sure that this is what Tillerson has been talking about when he's been saying that there's a need to have, he's open to having, you know, direct talks with them.
Finally, Tim, what about China? Trump, since the beginning of his presidency, whenever he has raised the issue of North Korea, has basically suggested that China should be exercising its leverage over North Korea. He sort of pushed and pulled several times on that issue, tweeted to China. Does China figure into this latest escalation of rhetoric?
Well, China did go along with the UN sanctions, as did Russia. But, you know, China is not going to do this. This is up to the United States. It's foolish to outsource our policy on North Korea to China. It's foolish to think that the Chinese would overthrow their own ally and allow a situation where, you know, South Korea could or the U.S. would, you know, take over North Korea, and there would be American troops on its own border. It's ridiculous to outsource this to China. It's not going to happen. They're not going to force Kim Jong-un to do anything to bow down to Trump. I mean, if there's going to be a solution to this, it's got to be direct involvement by the U.S. This conflict is between the U.S. and North Korea, not between North Korea and China, not between North Korea and Russia, not between North Korea and any other country. It's the U.S. that they're concerned about. And so when there's a war between two states, a state of war essentially between two states, it's incumbent on those states to resolve it themselves. And China can be assisting the U.S. in terms of, you know, approving these sanctions like it did at the U.N. or enforcing them, or even talking to the North about, you know, maybe making some concessions. But it's not going to be the key actor. North Korea resents attempts by China to control its affairs. North Korea is fiercely independent, has always has been. And this strategy is just, it won't work. And, it, you know, look at it. It has not worked. So direct talks between the U.S. and North Korea are critical. And that's the only solution to this issue.
Well, Tim, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and helping to put these issues into perspective once more. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guest is Tim Shorrock. He's a Washington-based journalist who has been writing about North and South Korea since the late 1970s. And he does write for The Nation as well as the Korea Center for Investigative Reporting. We've been discussing the dangerous rhetoric of nuclear war between the U.S. and North Korea. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.